All right. Avinu, open our ears and help us to understand and know and hear your words. We thank you, Abba. Amen. It's interesting that Rod told me that our Torah reading today would be from chapter 22 of Deuteronomy, because that is also the passage that I had decided that from which my drash would come. And so it's really amazing when those intersections happen. And so I didn't know that's what he was going to choose, and I hadn't said anything about sharing from these same verses. If your brother's animal, his ox or his sheep, goes astray, do not ignore it. You must take it back to your brother. If your brother does not live near you, or you don't even know who your brother is, you will bring the animal home with you, and it will remain with you until your brother claims it. Then you will give it back to him. You will do the same with his donkey, and you will do the same with his clothes, not just animals, but any of his possessions. And so shall you do with anything that your fellow loses that you find. It, you must not remain indifferent. You must not hide yourself, is literally what the text says. You can't close yourself off. You can't pretend that you're blind. You can't pretend that you don't see, that you don't understand. You can't remain indifferent. Elie Wiesel, the Holocaust survivor and author, once said in an interview when asked about love, if hate was the opposite of love, and he was encouraging people to have loving attitudes and open hearts. And he said, no, hate is not the opposite of love. The opposite of love is indifference. I don't care attitude is actually the opposite of love. This passage is pushing us toward having the kind of engagement that is really beyond what we normally see and understand. I remember when I was a kid, we had a line about finders keepers. Do you remember how the rest of it goes? Losers weepers. And it's interesting, as I thought about this passage, I remembered that kind of limerick. Finders keepers, losers weepers. It's mine now. I found it. It reminded me of a joke. Okay, here comes one of... I know, you're already laughing. So a man and a woman have spent 60 years of marriage together. They've retired and they move back to the little town where they grew up. And in Shmuley and Miriam go back to the little schoolhouse where they met when they were young children. They hadn't been there in such a long time. And they go, the building's open, this really old schoolhouse in this little town. And Shmuley even finds where he carved on a desk. I once got suspended for doing that when I was in eighth grade. So don't do what I did. But he finds on a desk where he even wrote when they were little, I love Miriam. And she became his wife. And so on the way, as they were walking back to their house, a truck drove by, and out of the truck fell a bag of money. A bag of money. And Miriam was like, oh, it's a blessing from God. And Shmuley's going, no, we got to return this. And she's going, no, we found it. Founders, keepers. And he's going, no, we have to return it. So she took it. She took it to the house. She hid it in the attic. The next day, two FBI agents show up. They're going, do you know anything about, it happened in your neighborhood, there was an armored truck, a bag of money fell off, and Shmuley interrupted, yes, we have it, it's up in the attic, and Miriam's like going, no, we don't know anything about it, my husband's getting, you know, you can see how old he is, you know, he doesn't know what he's talking about, we don't know anything about the money. And Shmuley's going, yes, we do. And so the FBI agents are like, wow, okay. So they look at Shmuley and they say, okay, we'll start with you. You tell us the whole story from your version of the story from the beginning. And he goes, okay. Well, you see, we were walking home from school together yesterday. At which the FBI agent said, okay, never mind, we'll go on to the next house. What were two 80-year-olds walking home together from school, right? You know, these like, okay, so this guy is kind of forgetful. That is not what we're talking about here, okay? That is not the finders, keepers, losers, weepers. I want to, beyond just talking about ox and animals and bulldogs and Persian kitty cats, whatever someone might lose, I want to bring, instead of a more literal understanding of the passage, I want to take this passage in a homiletical midrashic understanding. Okay? In Jewish tradition, there's a number of different kinds of interpretation of a passage. And so I want to take this passage and I want to look at it in a different way. First of all, it says, if you find something that belongs to your brother, it's very interesting to me, so here's the first puzzle piece. It's very interesting to me that in the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, it calls Yeshua our brother. Speaking actually to the Jewish people, that book being written by someone to Jewish individuals, they are told that they need to understand and recognize that Yeshua the Messiah is their brother. God made Yeshua your brother like you. And the idea is of this connection, this relationship of Yeshua to his Jewish people. So I want to first, puzzle piece, understand the brother, this fellow that is spoken of in Deuteronomy here as the image of Yeshua. If you see Yeshua's ox and sheep and donkey wandering away, going astray, and then you're going to say, I know God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, but I never read that Yeshua was a shepherd. Did Yeshua ever have sheep? He did. You're very right. My sheep hear my voice, Yeshua said in one place. He even kept chickens. Did you know Yeshua kept chickens? There's that passage where he says, how I would long to gather you under my wings like a hen gathers its chicks. Guys, we're all just a bunch of chickens. Yeshua had chickens. And if you see your brother Yeshua's flock going astray, don't ignore it. You must take it back to your brother. You must take it back to Yeshua. I want to also, as a third puzzle piece, so there was Yeshua, and what is his flock? That is, his animals are his people. And so what is this going astray that it says here? Actually, in the book of Exodus, there is a commandment very much like this, that also speaks of if you see your enemy. If you see your enemy's animal out wandering, you are to take it back, not just to your brother, but to your enemy. This sense is kind of an animal that's kind of all like, kind of, you know, la la la, you know, walking down the road, kind of got lost, you know. Here, the idea is something, actually, what's going on is something much more powerful. The verb here that means to go astray is only translated this way. In all the places it's used, it's only translated go astray here. It's usually translated in ways like expelled, driven away, outcast. Something much more powerful, much more explicit than just wandering. It's used, for instance, in Jeremiah. It's used in many places, actually, of the people of Israel who have experienced exile, who have experienced the discipline of God being separated from God, and how God longs to bring back those that have been outcast, those that have been thrust out. Not just go astray, but expelled and thrust out. It's used, for instance, in Jeremiah 23, where it says, "Shepherds, O shepherds who let the flock of my pasture wander and be scattered." There, by the way, is that idea of God has sheep and herds. "And the bad shepherds who let the flock get scattered. Assuredly, the Lord says, the God of Israel, concerning those shepherds who should tend the..." It's the idea of feed. "They should tend and feed my people. It is you who let my flock scatter and be expelled. You give no thought to them, but I am going to give thought to you for your actions, declares the Lord. And I myself will gather the remnant of my flock from all the lands which I have banished them. The word banished there is the same verb back in Deuteronomy about the animals, the brothers' animals who go astray. Banished, expelled, thrust away. I myself will gather those which have been banished, and I will bring them back to their own pasture, where they will be fruitful and multiply. That's the blessings of creation, being fruitful and multiplying. And so we have a broader understanding of what this means when our brother Yeshua's flock, his creation, his people go astray. It's those that have been exiled, those that have been banished, those that have been cast out, those that have been thrust away. Yeshua has lost members of his flock. And it says, if you see one of your brothers, if you see one of Yeshua's members of his flock being banished and exiled and wandering away, you must not ignore it. You must take it back to Yeshua. In verse 2 in Deuteronomy, it says, and if your brother, if Yeshua, doesn't live near you, you are to bring it home, referring to the animal, referring to the flock of Messiah. You are to bring the animal home, and it will remain with you until your brother claims it. This is hospitality at its most open-hearted. This is a receptiveness, a love, an openness. When I was in school, I had a class called Dynamics of Healthy Families. The professor's idea was that instead of focusing on all the chaos in society, what leads to family disintegration, the pain, the bad choices, and so forth, why don't I create a class that looks at what leads to positive families instead of what leads to negative, bad vibe, bad atmosphere families. And one of the things that he discovered that we talked about in that class when I attended grad school was that a healthy family has an open-heartedness to outsiders. A healthy family is one who invites others to come in. Actually, I can think of more than one of you, more than one family in our congregation who have opened their home to people that needed a home. Not just helping someone find a home, but giving a home, however temporary that might be. I remember hearing stories that my dad told about how my grandparents did that. And I remember at one point, even my own parents gave a place to live to a man who was recovering from some addiction. He and his daughter stayed for quite some time in my parents' basement. It says, Your brother doesn't live near you. Welcome people in. Welcome them in. Welcome the sheep in. Welcome the lambs in to remain with you until Yeshua claims them. You will do the same with anything that your brother loses. You must not remain indifferent. You cannot have a pretense that to hide yourself, to not see, to not care. That passage in Jeremiah chapter 23 that we were in a few moments ago goes on to say something very special. Remember, Jeremiah is speaking to the bad shepherds who don't feed the flock, who in fact scatter the sheep. Back in Jeremiah 23, that same passage in verse 4 says, I will appoint, God says, I will appoint over them shepherds who will tend them, who will feed them, and they will no longer be afraid or anxious, and not one of them will be missing. In some respects, this is what I think of when I think of a messianic synagogue. We are one of those sheepfolds that God brings sheep into. But I want to look at it in a slightly different way at this moment. This idea where instead of the bad shepherds, God says, I will appoint shepherds over them who will protect, who will feed. If in the command that Moses gave, if somebody's animal gets lost and you see it, you're to take care of it. Maybe for a really long time. Not necessarily with a finders keepers, losers weepers attitude. It's not that, oh, cool, now I have an extra calf. Great. Got another beef cow. Can you imagine somebody going out, looking for chickens that were wandering along the road? Oh, my brother lost a chicken. Well, it's mine now. It is a finder's keepers. If you find it, it's yours. But with a nuance that it's not yours. It's yours to take care of. It's yours to provide for. It's yours to feed and tend. Not to be yours, but until it's claimed by your countrymen, your fellow, your brother, whoever he is, wherever he lives. That makes the people described here in Deuteronomy shepherds. If you see it, you are to provide for it. You've just become a shepherd. You have become a shepherd, which is what Jeremiah 23 says, that God will appoint good shepherds over those sheep that have been scattered, who haven't been fed, but now God will give them shepherds who will provide, who will show love and care, concern. Let me submit that Yeshua has lost sheep. And Yeshua has made each of us, you and I, shepherds to care for the lost sheep. Yeshua refers to lost sheep in Matthew. He says the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You and I are shepherds, either to care for people literally, I don't know, bring them into your sheepfold, you know, into your picket fence, into your home. Maybe literally, maybe in other ways. But you and I can't remain indifferent to the flock, the members of the flocks that have gone astray. When we see it, we have the responsibility to serve. We have the responsibility to be the shepherds that God made us to be. Do you remember what Messiah said? The story is the very last paragraph of the book of John. So it's the very end of the gospel. The last thing we're left with is a conversation between Yeshua and a guy named Shimon Kepha, Simon Peter. And Yeshua says, I could read it for you, I guess. John 21, I think. And Yeshua says, this is verse 17. He said, Shimon, son of John, do you love me? And he says, you know I love you. You know, in the vernacular, you know, they'd say, you're darn straight. Of course. You know it. You know I love you. And so Yeshua said, and you heard it just said by our lovely Laura, then feed my sheep. Do you love Messiah? Then you demonstrate it in a very significant way by being a shepherd, by feeding a part of Yeshua's wandering, cast out, banished flock. So I challenge you, just as we have been fed and shepherded as sheep by Messiah, Messiah has other sheep that have been banished and out wandering, driven away. You and I have the responsibility to be shepherds. I challenge you to find someone. It may be several someones, and it may not look the same in every situation. The way that you feed and help or support or befriend, it might look different in different situations. But we are commanded in a very real way in Deuteronomy 22 to see ourselves as a shepherd, to take care of our brother's flock. Yeshua said, if you love me, then be a shepherd. And so we should. Let me leave you with that challenge. This more midrashic reading of this passage about animals. and understanding it as our brother Yeshua's flock. The people that are his. Let's pray. God, I pray that we would recognize your kindness to us. That you have become the shepherd, the overseer of our lives. That we have been sheep that were banished and wandering. That we had been driven away, homeless, hopeless. And God, you provided a shepherd for us. Either in person or in Yeshua, we have been fed and you are tending us, Lord. And so, Lord, I pray that we would see ourselves in that role of becoming shepherds in that same way. And as we have received, that we would give, that we would pour into others. Into a someone else that needs that support. God, I pray that we'd capture the challenge, that we'd have a heart willing to be responsive and not remain indifferent. And then, Lord, of course, and this is on a different way, but Lord, we'll need your encouragement. We'll need your resources. We'll need your tools. We'll need to be equipped and filled with your Spirit, receiving the gifts of the Spirit to know how to serve in those ways. We know that you'll provide that. We'll know that we can trust you. That we'll have the resources necessary to be understudy shepherds in the lives of others. Thank you, God, for providing a shepherd Yeshua in each of our lives. It's his honor, we pray. Amen.